Blog Talk Radio.
My song I sing. that's gonna change our time. If I
sisters, we are back. Yes, indeed. We're back again. Back again for another episode, another very precious episode of Hidden Gospel, Hidden Gospel Revealed. And I am your host, Enemia of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. So very thankful. Yes, so very thankful to the Most High for the opportunity, yes, indeed, to be back with you here again. Speak these very precious and important words the Most High has granted me. For the blessing of his people. Most High has told me, yes indeed, he has told me. Yes, he's told me that I have him some very important things for him to do. And he told me because of what I must do, he said that yes indeed, that I'd accrue some very powerful friends, he said, as well as enemies. But he told me that in doing that for him, which he has asked of me, said I would have his protection and his guidance. For that, my brothers and sisters, I can only be utmost thankful. For the Most High has told me, my brothers and sisters, yes, indeed, he's told me, that I must tell you things. Yes, indeed, he has told me that I must tell you things. That men have done everything they could since the dawn of human fall. I would even say, my brothers and sisters, since the dawn of human fall, to preserve fallen conscience in the earth. Yes, my brothers and sisters, since the dawn of human fall, since the dawn of the time, my brothers and sisters, when man turned away from the will of the Most High, to follow, my brothers and sisters, after every manner of misrule and unrighteousness that can be imagined. Again, my brothers and sisters, the Most High told me that I must tell you things, yes indeed, and I must tell you things, that men, to preserve misrule, have done everything they could since the dawn of human fall, to hide, to deny, to pervert, to silence, and if they could, yes indeed, my brother says, if they could, to utterly destroy. But I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, in the world in which we live, the Most High, hey, in this world, well, he's offered this world a promise. He has promised, my brothers and sisters, by his Spirit, that he would seek to teach all things, no lie in it, bringing all things that he has declared to remembrance. In fact, my brothers and sisters, in bringing all things he has declared to remembrance, and rebuking all that has divided mankind against the perfect will of Yah. Yes, indeed, my brothers and sisters, the Most High has promised that he will bring peace. He said there must come a time for the refreshing, the remembrance of all things spoken by the mouth of the holy prophets since this world began. Shall we not understand then, my brothers and sisters, that if we believe, if we have the blessed hope that is promised, if we uphold the forms of what the Most High says, we must unto him uphold. If we be true to this, yes indeed, my brothers and sisters, if we be true to this, we have this expectation. And this expectation, my brothers and sisters, we must, as the witnesses for the Most High, we must, as his testimony, must, as his vessel, discern, my brothers and sisters, with the purity and even seeking a purity and completion, a total sense of justice. But the Most High requires that indeed it is his name. I said his name. I did not say anybody else's contract. I didn't say anybody else's ideals. I didn't say anybody else's conscience. It is his name, my brothers and sisters, if we make a vow unto his name, that we must exalt. We must seek, my brothers and sisters, the truth of what is his righteousness, what is his justice. That it be his name exalted in all the earth. Well, my brothers and sisters, I'd like to look at a little bit of scripture here. At some of the promises of the Most High that bear serious investigation. In fact, my brothers and sisters, serious investigation for us all. What is the conditions, my brothers and sisters, under which the Most High will exalt his people? Need to examine, yes indeed. Let's call your attention. I'd like to call your attention to Deuteronomy. Tonight's show in so many ways will be a continuation of the truths spoken on last evening. Desperately need these things need to be comprehended, that we understand what the Most High has promised and under what conditions those promises should be brought to bear. Deuteronomy 28th chapter. 28th chapter, 13th verse. It said, and the Most High shall make thee the head and not the tail. Deuteronomy 28:13. And the Most High shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If that thou shalt hearken unto the commandment. Oh, my brothers and sisters, how about the commandments? How about the common sense of mutual conscience that must be truly true in the minds of all his people? Must be the reliance, the love, and the trust of all his people. What about, my brothers and sisters, the common mutual sense of what is law, lawful? Common expectation of his people that it, that righteousness, that requirement, that understanding be preserved. If thou hearken to the commandment, oh, my brothers and sisters, he said, think not that we come to destroy the law of the prophets or in any way dishonor the law of the prophets. He did not come to do this, neither should we. He said, if you will hearken to the commandment of the Most High. I didn't say seek to subdivide it. I didn't say seek to break it by a lack of remembrance. I didn't say dishonor it by in any way forgetting. But my brothers and sisters, in so many ways, when the scripture says, beware of false prophets, it means you must become one yourself. It means that you must hearken to the Most High. You must hear what the Spirit has to say to the churches, that you discern beyond the unrighteousness of those who would lead you astray. So the Most High will make thee the head and not the tail. Thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. Do you think the Most High wants his people, my brothers and sisters, to be subordinate to those who disobey, disrespect, hypocrisize, and compromise? He said, if, my brothers and sisters, if thou shalt hearken to the commandment of the Most High, thy Yah, thy Elohim, him who is to declare a common sense of mutual understanding and conscience to you all, if you obey the commandments I command thee this day, to do them, to observe. Yes, we need to look at that word, observe. To observe and to do them. Oh, heaven help us. To observe, to guard, to protect, to attend to. How about be considerate of, circumspect regarding, taking heed, keeping. Look with a sharp introspection after. How about to look narrowly, finely upon, seeking the refinement of this word, seeking to preserve, regard, Save. Yes, indeed, my brothers and sisters. Watch after, watch for, watch over. If this is how you regard his commandments. And what commandment did he offer in that day? How about looking at all the law and the prophets, my brothers and sisters? All that's contained in the law and the prophets, even the law that he gave his servant Moshe, because he most times did not lie. Who was it that gave Moshe his commands? Hey, the scriptures tell us. In 1 Corinthians, 10th chapter, it says they all fall out of the same rock, were baptized under the same cloud, and that rock was Messiah. First Kepha, Peter, 1:10-11, all the prophets spoke by the spirit of Messiah that is in them. Hebrews 3rd speaks of Moshe being faithful. Yes, my brothers and sisters, even unto Messiah himself. Yes, my brothers and sisters, it's time to comprehend the truth of these things. For Messiah comes, my brothers and sisters, expressly that all the world might know that there's none else but the Most High Yah, who is ultimately the Savior, the Redeemer, the peace, the hope of peace to mankind. Because by no means is the conversation, the conceits, the misconceits, the schemes of this world, wrought of a carnal mind, by no means, my brothers and sisters, shall they bring forth the peace the Most High intended. Or dare men say that carnal mind can embrace with the fullness that is necessary the mind of the prophets, the mind that the Most High gives to those who are diligent in his spirit. My brothers and sisters, the very reason for the purpose of the Holy Spirit, the scripture says those who believe in him, he gave them power to become the sons of Yah. How about, my brothers and sisters, he raises their conscience to commune with the Most High himself and be true to his will. I'm not talking about my brothers and sisters being left after a carnal mind disengaged. I'm not talking about after a carnal mind, every man walking according to his own opinion and his own preferences and his own design, as it seems wise to his flesh after the misorientations of an unjust world. I'm talking about my brothers and sisters being led by his spirit unto partaking of what the scripture calls his divine nature. Oh, yes, my brothers and sisters. Scripture talking about partaking of his divine nature that we might escape. Yes, my brothers and sisters, the corruptions that are due to personal lusts. Second Kepha, Peter 1:4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Oh, Galatians talk about these promises. And of course, these promises cannot be after the designs of many. How can you keep a contract wholly unto one after everybody's preferences and designs? The promises, my brothers and sisters, according to the will of one. That by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. The divine nature, my brothers and sisters, is not the misdesigns of a confused many. Not the debate, not the doubt, not the confusion of many. But the will of one, the Holy One, my brothers and sisters, that he might be exalted and given all the glory, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. How about the carnal mind that has enmity against the law? Even against the expectation. Even against the faith of the Most High. There are many today who will tell you that the faith, is according to what? 45,000 denominations who claim that they believe? 45,000 faiths, my brothers and sisters, beyond the corruptions of this world? Really? The faith, my brothers and sisters, is a matter of accepting the greater truth the Most High reveals that the world will not teach. Did you hear me? It says the Holy Spirit seeks to teach all things, bringing all things to remembrance. Why did the Holy Spirit have to come, my brothers and sisters? Most High sends prophets, anointing after His Spirit. For what purpose? To speak what others would not. But when the Most High looks and He sees none to declare this word, the Scripture says it is His blessing, especially in these latter days, that He will send one that He shall speaks of and says concerning Him at a time when the whole world, everyone is so blinded by the rulers, Isaiah 41. So blinded by the rulers, that nobody preaches the good tidings, the gospel of the kingdom. Oh, everybody's so busy, predisposed after the various kingdoms of this earth. Are they really preparing for the kingdom of Yah? Are they preparing, my brothers and sisters, that the kingdom of Yah be exalted above all others? Or are they preparing themselves to be found victims seeking to preserve what the Most High calls unrighteousness? I don't see a single nation on this earth. I don't see a single denomination, anything like it on this earth, present time, that is true to all that's contained in the Law and the Prophets. And if you think I'm kidding, please look at my website, hiddengospel.com. There's an article there. The article there you need to really look at. Early church origin and mutual expectation. Find out what it is that the scriptures say in the last days when this truth is known. It's going to expose all the faulty foundations of a whole world. And when the whole world realizes the truth that they had been turned away from, then, my brothers and sisters, men shall then attain to what I would call a teachable spirit. Because as long as people are trying to preserve a faulty foundation, my brothers and sisters, everything you place upon it is skewed and it's time. We come to that pure, perfect foundation, pure, perfect expectation. That in humility before that which Yah has decreed, and there is no other master, we might, my brothers and sisters, seek and truly exceed much of the corruption, much of the consternation and confusion and conflict you see in the world. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, just not that long ago, I was listening to another show on Blog Talk for a moment, and people were talking about the idea of which was the worst denomination. Ooh, heaven help us. My brothers and sisters, don't think even one time that being fallen short of the glory is salvation. Messiah did not give his life that any fallen standard be acceptable unto the Most High, nor that any fallen standard attain to the glory of his name, that a fallen standard should be exalted, as if he would sign himself upon an altered contract. By no means. My brothers and sisters, Messiah gave his life that conscious men might be raised by a spirit that would teach all things, even that men would not. There's a reason why the scripture says, hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Because there's a need to understand some things the Spirit will reveal that oftentimes the leaders won't tell. And I can believe me, and believe me, my brothers and sisters, there is a tremendous amount of truth contained in the scriptures. It's already written in advance that your leaders, unless they are true unto Yah, would not tell. And quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, scriptures talk about these things having to be restored to mind. For the Most High said he looked in the last days, in these latter days, and because he saw no intercessor, none who petitioned for the fullness of what is his conscience, men lying and transgressing against the Most High, saw there was no one to help in the midst of it all, that he would send the Savior who would put upon himself the whole armor of Yah. And in fact, my brothers and sisters, says that is the one who will bring salvation to him. Hope you understand what I mean. There are many who call themselves by his name, call themselves saying that they have his authority, but they've called upon his name, but not in truth nor in righteousness, and said they were his people, but the authority they have upheld has been that of another. He said they have sworn by his name, but not in truth nor in righteousness, not under absolute justice, not under what is fair, not before Yah. Because quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, there's only one law that is lawful, and it is the law of the Most High. And we are all as a law, as a people, to have that common expectation, that common sense of what is divine requirement. The Most High, my brothers and sisters, does not change, will not be destabilized. And the scriptures tell us well that if we deny him in any way, he will deny us. Let us not be so unwise. Let us realize that since there is one master, let us realize that since there is one faith, and that the one faith that transcends all the corruptions of this world, that in the coming of the Son of Man, since all be judged according to a fullness of what the Most High calls righteousness, a fullness of what he calls justice, nothing less. Or dare men even begin to think, that unrighteousness he shall sanction? He will come to judge mankind, my brothers and sisters, according to all that is divine righteousness. He will sanction no less. Man is indeed, my brothers and sisters, fallen short. Not blessed, but separated from even what is the Abrahamic covenant of blessing to this earth. if he seeks not to confirm even the least of what the Most High has declared, must be a common standard for his people, because purity and completion offers but one choice. So I say, my brothers and sisters, time to discern, since the Most High has told us that he make us the head and not the tail, if we hearken to his commandments. We need to ask the question, why then, my brothers and sisters, there's so many that seek after righteousness, or say that they do, not the head? My brothers and sisters, have we truly considered everything the scriptures have to say? Have we sought enough of his righteousness? It's a question we need to ask. The Apostle Shaul, called Paul, said, I know nothing of which I'm guilty, but I might not be right in this. Wow. He said, if any man think he is wise after the ways of this world, this divided, obviously confused, and foolish world, he said, let him consider himself a fool, that he may become wise. He said, let us not consider ourselves so wise before the time until Messiah comes, to reveal the hidden things that men have not considered. And then in that day, yes indeed, my brothers and sisters, shall every man know how to praise Yah, because believe me, he has no fallen standard after any of the forgetfulness or denial or man's, let's just say, weakness in spiritual conscience or spiritual weakness. He's not any of those fallen standards, my brothers and sisters, that is not wise enough to understand what should not be ignored. That is, because man, my brothers and sisters, has not discerned how precious a word from the Most High is, or an exceeding word of the Most High is. Many are beguiled. Many not discerning the precious, how precious an exceeding word is, my brothers and sisters. Many not only are beguiled, my brothers and sisters, but become beguilers themselves. Men following other men's example, when you show them the greater truths that are contained in the scriptures, choose also not to examine the greater things, simply because those they call leaders say that they are somehow inviolable. Just last week I spoke to someone when I told him about abundance of scripture related to some things that his denomination would not teach, does not teach, doesn't understand, quite frankly, for all their pride. He told me, what does that have to do with my salvation, he said. He asked me, what does that have to do with his salvation? It has everything to do with it. The man's going to be delivered, going to be saved. He's going to be able to be delivered, my brothers and sisters, in attaining the victory to discern those things the world would not speak nor revere. Examine for yourself in Isaiah 25. It talks about him casting aside the veil, the covering that is over all the nations. Have you ever stopped to consider that veil and that covering? Is the false righteousness, the misrule that's over all the nations, compelling men to believe in a multitude of false righteousness, injustice? That men don't seek the greater righteousness of Yah, and the end result is men are snared by men who use the holy name according to their own vanities, what the Most High will not be pleased with. Isaiah 40 talks about the idea about how the Most High is going to call the so-called righteousness of the nations, so-called what men have called understanding among the nations, likened to a drop in a bucket. Now, in other words, get my point. You drop a drop of water in a bucket and see if it's anything at all. Count them all as vanity, as if they were nothing. Why? Because what is to be accomplished is not accomplished. Most High creates a thing for a purpose. If a plant begins to grow fruit and it drops off before the time, it is by no means matured. Right? Is it still good for the eater? Oh, the plant's going to sit back and say, yeah, but I brought forth a green orange. Hey, that'd be okay if it was a lime tree. But if you want ripe oranges, my brothers and sisters, that tree must hold to its fruit. And the fruit of the tree must realize that it depends upon, its life depends upon that tree, and that tree and its roots being given, yes, water in due season. Sun, my brothers and sisters, that the leaves provide and create energy and nourishment, that it might be stored in the fruit. Oh, my brothers and sisters, what happens then to man that started along his along the way and does not realize the need to remain steadfast? Yes, remain steadfast to us, the life-giving source. Have we remained true? My brothers and sisters, it's a question. All the Most High declared from the beginning. He said, oh, Isaiah 48, oh, that you had just simply kept and preserved, maintained my commandments. Then your peace would have been as a river, and your righteousness as the waves of the sea. And I would not have to have beheld your descendants destroyed before me. Messiah coming forth saying, from the beginning, from the creation, there am I, to show you the way that you should go. Question I ask, my brothers and sisters, is have we collectively been true to that righteousness? And if we were true to it, why are there divisions among us? Isn't it time, my brothers and sisters, we discern the reality? On yesterday, we talked about a principle. And many have not even considered the meaning. They just keep going right through it as if it was not even there. Revelation 22:16, and it explained these things. Talks about, well, let me go to this verse. Let me go to the verse directly. Messiah said in Revelation 22:16, he said, I am the root and the offspring of David. He said, I am the bright. He said, I'm the root and offspring of David and the bright morning star. What was meant by this? Have many considered what he meant by the morning star? What about, my brothers and sisters, what about the scripture also at, and this is very critical, a few other places we need to look at for this same title. What about, I'm coming back to Revelation. Let's come back to Revelation in just a second. I will. Second Peter, they called it, 1:19. It says, so we have a prophetic word, a prophecy made sure, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place. In other words, a light that you might see past all the confusion and darkness that causes men to stumble in this world. Until the day dawns. Oh, I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, the time comes when the day dawns and when the sun arises, it makes seem quite dull, as if there were no light at all. All that shines in the heavens. I say, until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. What is the morning star that arises, my brothers and sisters, that brings the dawning of the day, that outshines all the darkness, my brothers and sisters? What was the scripture talking about here? Well, I want you to understand what the scriptures are talking about. I want you to look at this, my brothers and sisters. We're talking about an exceeding light. We're talking about a light, my brothers and sisters, that casts out all the darkness, reveals the wisdom and truth and righteousness of the Most High that a whole world would seek to obscure. And indeed, my brothers and sisters, has sought to do just that. Revelation 2:26. He that overcometh and keeps my works to the end. How about the fullness of what is his design and conscience? According to the fullness of what redeems the earth unto the Most High, if you will. Earth belongs to Yah and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Who then shall ascend into the hills of the Most High? Psalm 24. But he who has clean hands and a pure heart, that will not lift up his soul unto vanity, nor swear deceitfully, who receives his righteousness from the Holy One of salvation. Oh, my brothers and sisters, I would ask the question, who is the King of glory? King of light and glory, if you will, my brothers and sisters. that invariant light from on high. Who is that king, my brothers and sisters? That the scriptures speak of, that will not compel any man to lift up his soul unto any vain, short-sighted, worthless, for being partial or corrupt ideal. Think about it. The gospel, in order to bring forth what is fruit of the Most High, he said, go ye forth and teach all nations everything he commands, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I didn't say according to any lesser conscience or any lesser sense of what is righteousness. You shall have no other God but he. He said, go ye forth and teach all nations everything, baptizing, converting the nations. Baptizing meaning cause them to openly declare in repentance they need to seek a higher righteousness than that which they had formerly been subject to. That's what baptism and repentance is, my brothers and sisters. You recognize that other standards that are lesser have been sinned. And you ask the Most High to raise your conscience to discern, my brothers and sisters, that which is his gospel, his righteousness, which will govern all the nations after what is indeed what the Most High calls justice. He that overcometh and keeps my words to the end, to him I will give authority or power over all the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and as the vessel of a potter shall they, get my point, the unclean vessels be broken to shivers. What is he talking about here? Even as he received, if you will, this authority from his Father, he said, I will give him the morning star. What is it talking about? What is it talking about, my brothers and sisters? You need to understand. Remember, in the law, it is written that if you have a brazen or brass pot, it can be scoured, cleansed, used again. But if you have an earthen pot, something is only earth, and it becomes, what's the word I want to use for it? Scored, scraped. There's corruption still left in it. Spoilage, retaining, if you will, the results of having been worn, spoiled by the effects of the earth. He said, if you have such a pot, far better that you break it. Did you hear me? That there might be no more disease, or there be no disease among the people, because to continually use such a pot could be to the detriment of all. Hear me, my brothers and sisters, these scriptures are speaking about those who he would bring under his authority. He said he would rule them with a rod of iron. That is strong, unflinching discipline, my brothers and sisters, but true to what is necessary that the earth become the place of blessing the Most High has intended, because any lesser standard can never bring it forth. Oh, my brothers and sisters, where are the people who discern that all that the Most High said, true to all that he has said, is indeed the blessing of the earth? Is indeed, my brothers and sisters, the offering of the Most High. In fact, the greatest gift of the Most High is that he grants his law with which men might again, after one mutual understanding, learn how to love, trust, and truly cooperate. Nothing less, my brothers and sisters, is the peace. Ephesians 2nd chapter says that this peace, this salvation, this oneness, this harmony, this reconciliation with Yah, is by no means after the conversation or constructs of man. In fact, the multitude of diverse constructs of men walking after their own preferences and ideals can only bring forth wrath, because the Most High will only be pleased with the offering that is mutual peace among all his people. We must understand this first and foremost. We're talking about building a kingdom, my brothers and sisters, with which the Most High himself should be pleased. You should rule them with a rod of iron, my brothers and sisters, but I want you to understand the book of Isaiah, 19th chapter. You need to really read it, that whole 19th chapter, but it says, he will smite and then heal them. They shall vow a vow unto the Most High and shall perform it. How about finally the men shall know what indeed is the true will of the Most High? I don't mean the breaking of a covenant. Most High is all, everything that he is. He does not deny himself. How is it that men have believed that denying any part of the law and the prophets means they're still yet true to him? Did he deny any part of himself? Did he say he is fully himself? Oh, well, let me ask you a question. If somebody says that you are still you, if they take away, are you still you, and that they care for you, if they tell you have to pluck out your eye, to let them chop off an arm or leg, my brothers and sisters, is that a love for your fullness of potential? Did the Most High declare anything in his law describing himself that is not important or discerning who he is? Did the Most High tell his people anything, my brothers and sisters, that is not important unto them being made whole, fully healed, after a pure and perfect perspective, that they all be one? Abraham was told his children would be a blessing to the earth if they sought his perfect will. He didn't say anything less would be viable. He said, when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part must pass away. Why, my brothers and sisters, have we so often been beguiled to believe that unrighteousness will bring forth the kingdom of God? That less than what the Most High requires is acceptable unto his kingdom. Even acceptable unto what? Being sealed and confirmed in his name? Didn't the scriptures tell us in Galatians that the promise is not after the will of many, but one? Purity and completion offers one choice. The faith restored is not after the will of many, my brothers and sisters, but one. You say, once the covenant is confirmed, no man can change anything in it. Let us not be beguiled by the misuse of this word law that exists in the world. Let us not be beguiled. What did Rome call a law? What did Greece call a law but the preservation of all their polytheisms and the worship of all their diverse gods? I hope you hear me, my brothers and sisters. They had a word, nomos. And what that word they used for law, they used completely indiscriminately with regard to divine law or man's law. Why do you think the scriptures talk about there's a law of sin and death and the law of spirit and life? My brothers and sisters, the law that does not bring forth order true to the Most High, because it does not bring forth order nor peace, is not a law. It's not a law. It's not a law at all. It's not lawful. Shall man say that they are true to the Most High in their lawlessness? If you're not subject to the law of the Most High, my brothers and sisters, what is it that you call lawful? What is it that you call justice? Think about, my brothers and sisters, think about such scriptures. Think about such scriptures, my brothers and sisters, as those that are written. Oh, please, heaven, help us all to understand. Think about such scriptures at 2 Peter 3:18-23. And the apostle, they call Peter. Well, this society does. He wouldn't call that in his time. The scriptures there reflect that he warned men that many would take Paul's words. He said, the wicked, ignorant, and unstable will twist, wrest, pervert the meaning of Paul's words, even as they do the other scriptures, that men turn away from steadfastness and follow the error of the law less. How many times did the apostle Shaul use the word law? And my brothers and sisters, you need to understand something. What did the world and the worldly call a law in that day before the gospel was even sent? And when it was sent, what did by and large men need to be converted from? And what did they need to be converted to? Remember, these are the people who are just now hearing the gospel. I want you to think about it, my brothers and sisters. You ever stop to consider about the grace, about the gift of the Most High? He reveals an exceeding rule, an exceeding sense of justice, that men might not be beguiled by those who hide the truth, deny the truth, hypocrisize, and compromise the truth. Think about it, my brothers and sisters. He said by the gospel of grace, dispensational grace, didn't he say he would write his laws, describe, teach his laws upon the minds and hearts of his people? But they should be his people? I did not say subject to another. He said he would ultimately restore anew the covenant that he made with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. They put down the word, I'll make a new covenant. Now, brothers and sisters, the covenant that he said he would make, if you read Yeremiah 30th chapter, Jeremiah 31st chapter. It talks about restoring a people to a covenant who had been scattered among the nations and knew the covenant not. And it finally speaks, my brothers and sisters, of this idea in Romans 11:25-27. Need to examine it also in Isaiah 59:19. It says, "This is my covenant with them," says the Most High, "when he turns his people from their sins." How about their blindness and their false beliefs? The unbelief among the nations. Because let me tell you something, a multitude of Gentile nations can only be confusion. It's not the absolution of the Most High. He says he's going to bring his people back from all those nations according to one rule. And I want you to understand something, my brothers and sisters. He says there that this is my covenant with them, that my covenant that I put in my mouth, my words that I put in your mouth, shall henceforth not depart from the mouth of your children, nor your children's children, henceforth even forever. We're talking about, my brothers and sisters, the restrengthening of his people. That which was prophesied in Genesis 49, speaking of Shiloh, the one unto whom the kingdom and the rule belongs. We're talking, my brothers and sisters, about Numbers 24 when it talks about the star of Jacob. And it says he will destroy him who seeks to preserve the ways of, how about the unjust city, Moab, those who would act as obstacles against Israel discerning righteousness, no strange gods, no false perceptions in it. It talks about, my brothers and sisters, in the midst of these scriptures. Yes, indeed. He said he would destroy or cast out of the way. Hear me, my brothers and sisters. Whoever will seek to preserve the unrighteousness, even the unrighteousness of the nations, for those who will understand it, read all of Numbers 24. 14 through 17 through 19. We're talking about, my brothers and sisters, one who, with the breath of his lips, according to 2 Thessalonians 2 and Isaiah 11, scriptures say concerning him, he is a root, if you will, a stem of Jesse, and David's father. Scriptures say he comes a second time to gather Israel from all the nations they've been scattered, and the nations first mentioned there, my brothers and sisters, are all part of the ancient empire called Kurdistan. Oh, that bears more looking at, surely. Talking about Isaiah 1:10-11:12. Need to read it closely, very closely. The scriptures there, my brothers and sisters, talking about the stem of Jesse being instant to the peoples. The scripture says that he will, by the breath of his lips, expose, they put down wicked, but that word for wicked means lawless. Expose all those who then declare fallen, unrighteous, misruling standards. That men, when they discern what the blessing the Most High has and offers to those who will seek righteousness, he says, unto him shall all the nations seek. And his rest, then his peace, the peace he brings, shall be glorious. Meaning that men discerning the exceeding righteousness of the Most High will come to him, because they not understand that that is the only way the Most High should be pleased. And quite frankly, there's so much prophecy relating that whoever will not accept this righteousness be cut off, not only cut off from among the people, but say the wrath of Yah shall remain upon them. There comes a day, my brothers and sisters, when the Most High will take back so much of what has been his blessing upon this earth. And only those, my brothers and sisters, only those who will accept the fullness of his righteousness to give him what is his desire, to perform all that is his pleasure, shall be preserved in the midst of that great day of tribulation and wrath that is yet to come. Oh, don't think there hasn't been a tribulation before. In fact, the first scripture is talking about a great tribulation per se, at Messiah's words in Matthew 24. It's not talking about something in the latter days. It's talking about that great murderous time, those first centuries right immediately after the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. Murderous times when Rome murdered millions, my brothers and sisters, to silence the word of truth. And many of my brothers and sisters don't even acknowledge that that time occurred, so most don't realize that what they uphold today is unrighteousness, because the scripture didn't say those times would end with the coming of Messiah. It said it, those times would seemingly be somewhat over. Murderous, those immediate murderous times, those who even called upon in any way the name of the Messiah or the concept of the Messiah. They put up a false faith because the scripture says those times would not bring at the end of them and immediately, those first few centuries, not the rise of Messiah, but the rise of false prophets, false testimony. And the scriptures ultimately tell us in 2 Thessalonians that because men did not receive the truth with love, and think about it, obviously the nations did not, because they came in and destroyed Jerusalem where the gospel was going forth in 70 A.D. It said after that time, men will come to, because of this, scripture said because they didn't receive the truth with love, he said Most High will allow upon them exactly what they asked for, apparently. A strong delusion that they should believe a lie, because they preferred unrighteousness, darkness more than light, unto mass condemnation, did not say salvation, that those who believe the lie, the pretense, would be damned. This is what the scriptures actually tell us. And believe me, my brothers and sisters, the early church knew that the expectation of Messiah, since false righteousness would be in place, oh, you need to read Isaiah 59 very closely. You need to read Isaiah 40 through 41 through 42 through 43. Scriptures relating that one called like a voice crying in the wilderness would say that, hey, the time, comfort ye, O my people. In other words, not according to their various vanities, their various ideas. Comfort ye, O my people. The Holy Spirit is a comforter for those who seek the truth, for those who seek justice. Comfort ye, O my people. Cause my people to repent, to seek a righteousness far greater than what your rulers have sought to teach you to exercise. Oh, yes. That's what the word nachem and the word metanoia actually means. Comfort ye, O my people, that your time of your warfare, your contentions might come to an end. Oh, yes. It said all eyes shall see the glory of the Most High at a time when the thoughts of men, it says the grass withers, the flower fades, but all flesh is as the grass. It's talking about, my brothers and sisters, at a time that man's righteous sense of righteousness has been vastly depleted. But he said, they who wait for the Most High shall renew their strength. He says, all eyes shall see his glory. But the scriptures talk about one who it says of him, who has stood up this righteous one from the east? The word for east is the same word for sunrise. The same word, my brothers and sisters, for, if you get my point, it relates to the concept of the morning star, that cast out all the darkness, that reveals the light the world would obscure. Oh, my brothers and sisters, the day dawning is the end of the darkness and the beginning of a day of light. How many understand what those scriptures are really talking about? Because believe me, there's one who claims to cast out of the darkness, but he is darkness. And the scripture mocks him in Isaiah 14th chapter in the destruction of this Babylonish system that has upheld the diversities of what has come international law, but we can never bring peace because it deserves all manner of compromise against the perfect rule of Yah. What the scripture says, the kings of the earth are taking counsel against the Most High and against his anointed, and that's the reason why the nations rage and they imagine vain things and there's no peace. They take counsel against the Most High, against his anointed. They take counsel against his rule, but the Most High will establish a king over Zion, his holy mountain. And those are the scriptures that talk about when Messiah will come forth saying, Most High has spoken to me and say, this day have I begotten thee. This day thou art my son, and have I begotten thee. Ask of me if I give you all the nations for your inheritance. You should shepherd them with a rod of iron. It should be broken at the breaking of a potter's vessel. Be wise, O king. Be instructed, O judge of the earth. Kiss the son, lest he be angry. And you perish from his way while his wrath is kindled but a little. What are these scriptures talking about that are reiterated in the book of Revelation? Hear me, my brothers and sisters. It is more than just knowing what the words say. It is knowing why. To know what they say and not know why, my brothers and sisters, is to err. It's to lead many astray. Scripture says the gospel. How about the sure word and understanding of what will rule and what must govern and what must govern the earth? When the Most High declares his kingdom on earth. If that word is hid, men only discern then the rule of men. The gospel of peace, the gospel of the kingdom is not the various rules of the other nations. Constitutions and ideals that nations have established in this world. You see, if that gospel, which is the perfect rule from on high, is hid, it is here to them that are lost, misled, easily beguiled. Scripture in Isaiah 59:8 talks about the way of peace. How about the way of the gospel of peace men have not known? He says in 46:42-16, he says, he will lead the blind by the way they have not known. What then did the Messiah come for but to show the exceeding righteousness of the Most High, that men should seek his glory? And no, by no means, my brothers and sisters, do I mean the varied standards, the fallen standards, the faulty foundations upon which men have established their various nations and denominations, inconsistent with what the Most High intends to build his kingdom with. Let us understand, my brothers and sisters, he's talking about salvation by faith. It's not according to what is common to the status quo. Not according to such short-sightedness. Not according to such partialities. Not according to any unjust perversion. Not according to any misinterpretation or misadministration. But according to what indeed is justice, while the scriptures speak of Messiah, saying, "Behold my servant, my elect, in whom my soul delights. I put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth justice to the nations. And the isle, the nations shall wait for, I didn't say declare or presume. Oh, but they'll wait to hear an order. Wait to hear a command. Wait to discern what is justice. The isles shall wait for, even serve him according to his law." I want you to understand something, my brothers and sisters. Please understand me. There are those in this world, like I heard the other day, who were arguing about the idea of what's the worst denomination. Like I said before, hell is hot whichever way you take to get there. Satan doesn't care which way to hell you go, as long as you go to hell. What I want you to understand, my brothers and sisters, is that you be counted something that falls short of what is your intent. I found that word for hell relates to Gehenna fire. In other words, that's where that which is worthless goes, because it does not fulfill its purpose. Think about it, my brothers and sisters. The Most High has a plan. He wants his people ultimately to become wise to perform all that is his pleasure, that they might be worthy inheritors of his name. If you wanted to put it this way, my brothers and sisters, people having power of attorneys to represent his righteousness according to all that is his covenant. Do you give power of attorney to a multitude of different representatives who are in conflict against one another, who don't know or won't fully even engage you to rightly understand your contract by which you would have your business delegated? Is that what you do? My brothers and sisters, I want to tell you, the Most High has a plan. And he's going to take back his name from all who have misadministered and abused the authority of what men have thought to be his name. If you think I'm kidding, think about the scriptures in Malachi 2:16. He says, "Let no man hide his iniquity in his robe." Oh, he says, "No one does this who even has a residue of his spirit." So by what spirit do men misrepresent the Most High? Many put on priestly robes and collars, put upon themselves titles. But my brothers and sisters, if they don't seek to uphold the fullness of what is divine righteousness, most of what the scriptures are saying in Revelation, in the 16th chapter, he will strip them naked. I hope you hear me. You will strip from them authority, humiliating them for being partial in his law. Revelation 16:12, it says, there will come forth what is called the drying up of the rivers, the exposing of what men called life and peace as unacceptable. They begin to cry out to the Most High for asking for more. In other words, when everything seems to be going good, men sit back and accept whatever. Oftentimes, a lot of corruption is all around, but when it's discerned that what they thought was life and peace is completely inviolable, then they begin to cry out to the Most High and ask, what do we need to be doing to get this thing right? They start looking for solutions. When he talks about the drying up of the rivers, he's showing foolish the so-called wisdom of the wise, and men know to seek what is wiser. And he said, talk about the coming forth of one called the King of the East. It's not plural in the original language. And Messiah says, "Behold, I come." And it says, "Blessed are they who keep their garments, lest they walk naked and men see their shame." All my brothers and sisters, no one who feigns authority from the Most High as if he had the garments of righteousness, will retain such a charade or maintain such a pretense when exceeding righteousness is revealed. Isn't it time we understand what those scriptures talk about when we talk about the drying up of the rivers? Those scriptures that are related also at Isaiah 44 about the one who will prove foolish the wisdom of the wise, the one who will shepherd the people of the Most High. Yes, indeed. One who the Most High calls is anointed at Isaiah 44, 20 through 45 and 6. The one, my brothers and sisters, that he said would build his city, even the city of peace. My brothers and sisters, I can only tell you that one for whom the kingdom that was once called Kurdistan was named had that title called King of the East and the Bright Morning Star. Who is that one, according to Isaiah 11, 10 through 12, that the scripture says will come a second time to do what he did before? And for many of you, my brothers and sisters, it might be quite much of a shock. But the truth is, if you read Isaiah closely, Isaiah, before Israel went into Babylonian captivity, Babylon in the east, the scriptures prophesied of one who would bring them out. It talks about, in Isaiah 24, looking at the original text, it talks about one who would bring Israel out of Babylon in the latter days in the west. That's two appearances. But it also speaks in Isaiah 53 about one who would ultimately be crucified, if you will, by the unrighteous. Even the unrighteousness, righteous who will hypocrisize the word of Yah. How do I even tell you about a priesthood, my brothers and sisters, that said they had no king but Caesar after Rome came in and killed all the priests and set up their own idea of a priesthood, a Sanhedrin over the people, a council over the people? How many understand, my brothers and sisters, that the priesthood that was in Israel at that time was the descendants of those who were appointed in some levels of hypocrisy to uphold Roman ideals, intercessors under Rome and not under Yah? How many will understand, my brothers and sisters, why Messiah had to come to declare what truly is the expectation of an Israelite? No guile in his mouth, true unto Yah in all things, whose praise is not from men but from Yah. How many will understand what that's about? Well, giving all these things consideration, Isaiah 44 through 45 speaks of one who will prove foolish what men had called wise, not discerning what they trusted had been falsehood. Oh, it sounds so much like Isaiah 11. He will expose the pretense, the false righteousness. How about the false sense of what is a church, totally polluted after this world? He will expose it all by the spirit of his mouth, by the testimony of his mouth. 2 Thessalonians says that in latter-day prophecy. Isaiah 11, my brothers and sisters, projected that second time of the coming of Mashiach. And I would only tell you that those in the east understood something quite different from what so many say they understand in the west today. That the prophecies concerning Messiah did not say that he comes once or twice, but actually three times. Think about it. Once from Babylon west, or let's just say once from Babylon east to deliver his people who have been cast into that Babylon. And the scriptures in Hosea says, he will roar like a lion and his sons will come trembling from the west in the latter days. Isaiah 24, 10 through 16, talks about a city. Yes, a city that has been confused. Calling upon the name of the Most High, according to Isaiah 19. Swearing by the name of the Most High, but speaking the language of the doctrines of Canaan, the heathen. Scriptures talk about that city, my brothers and sisters, that would be overthrown. Why? Because in Zephaniah 3, it says the just Lord, the righteous one, is in the midst of the city. Ah, but the wicked, the lawless, those who don't even know the expectation, don't know the law of the Most High, will know no shame. In other words, they won't hearken. Read Zephaniah 3 and see what those scriptures are talking about. And it talks about finally when that city is overthrown as a sign to the righteous. Oh, you need to really read Isaiah 66 chapter. 6 to 15 verse. It talks about a city that will be overthrown and the message will go forth from the city. And Israel that understands the sign, the signal, will be like a nation reborn as in one day. I'm talking about Isaiah 66. Read that 6 to 15 verse. And understand what is supposed to be the expectation of his people. The arising of a righteous one, they say, they cry aloud from the west. And because of what happens in the west, they will glorify him in the east. Oh, my brothers and sisters, what did Messiah say? As the sun rises in the east, or the lightning rises out of the east, even unto the west, so this should be the coming of the Son of Man. What does the scripture talk about in Isaiah 45 when it says that they may know from the rising sun to the west there's none else but Yah? But in the latter days, in Isaiah 59:19-21, it says, so shall they glorify him in the west, and therefore glorify him in the rising of the sun, in the west and then to the east. Why don't they tell you? Why don't they tell you about those prophecies, my brothers and sisters? They talk about a sky Messiah, one who comes from the sky. But what about the scriptures talk about in Isaiah 49? One who comes forth saying, listen to me, Isle. I said Isaiah 49. Listen to me, O Isles. Hearken to me, O you nations. Let my people, one scripture says, let them renew their strength. In Isaiah 41. Listen to me, O ye Isles. The Most High has called me from afar, from the womb, from the womb, from the womb, from the body of my mother, as he made mention of my name, to bring Israel back to him, to declare his glory. In the shadow of his hand has he hidden me. Ultimately, my brothers and sisters, not only to restore Israel, but be his salvation to the ends of the earth. I'm talking about Isaiah 49. Why don't they teach you about that prophecy, my brothers and sisters? Why don't they tell you that oftentimes to the people in the east, clouds were symbolic messengers, symbols of, allegorically related, if you will, metaphorically related, some might say. If you want to use the combination, we'll use that term. As symbols of messengers on high, symbols of, as a messenger from on high, if you will, to relate, let's just say, what is about to happen, the signs of the times, whether there's about to be rain, whether there's about to be strong, hot wind. They looked at the clouds, my brothers and sisters, to determine the signs of the heavens. But my brothers and sisters, I want you to understand. The Most High desires that our conscience be raised, not that we see things after the short-sightedness or stifled perception of those who are blinded behind hills, mountains, trees, whatever. But he wants to raise our consciousness, brothers and sisters, that we perceive this world after the eyes of the Most High, that we prepare, our brothers and sisters, to perceive beyond the veil of unrighteousness that so easily has blinded and kept men from discerning the victory, and that comes in discerning what my brothers and sisters, the world will not tell. I want you to consider, my brothers and sisters, what is written then. Because there's a need for a great healing in the world. It's time to deal with the real. It's time, my brothers and sisters, there must come forth a people humble enough to seek the truth for the good of all. I told you the other day, I ran into some people who were concerned about which one is the worst denomination. Wow. My brothers and sisters, Scripture calls about, because many call a particular denomination the mother of harlots, but of all the harlots, what makes people think that they're so wise? Yeah. Or so righteous? I want you to consider, my brothers and sisters, rather than us first being willing to want to cut one another down, the scripture talks about it, says there be strife and divisions among us. What about the idea about gathering in his name? He said there he would be in the midst of us as a reconciler. How about to show us what is missing? How about to show us what is acting as an obstacle against our higher dimension of perception? In other words, every lie acts as a deception to keep us from being able to perceive the greater truth. DC against perceive. Every lie that man believes, my brothers and sisters, every half-truth that men trust upon a fallen standard is just another trap to capture men that can be exploited, and it's time we wake up beyond it all. What I would have you to understand, my brothers and sisters, please, in the name of the Most High, I would have you to understand that the Most High, when he says, I would give them the morning star, he said, those who keep his works to the fullness of his rule. All my brothers and sisters, if we understand that the Most High intends to, what did he say? He will keep my works to the end, I will give power over the nations. You ever stop to consider, my brothers and sisters, that he's talking about a people who shall rule with him? Shall rule with him? I didn't say against him. I said that shall rule with him. I want you to consider, my brothers and sisters, what then is written for people who are prepared to be the head and not the tail. I'd like to take you, I'm looking at the present amount of time we have left, and I know I need to get to this, and I need to move to it swiftly. Micaiah, Matthew, I'd like to go around the, let's see here. How about the, I'd like to read this and carry it on through. How about 5:2? He opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit. How about those who are not so proud but are teachable, meek, humble, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Why did he say this? Many seek to cut one another down, all in many ways standing still in corruption, but want to cut one another down. Well, let me tell you something. Everybody's corrupt. Everybody's fallen. What about being humble enough before the Most High to petition the Most High true to his name, asking that he be in the midst, that we uphold his authority? Humble ourselves to ask the Most High what is missing, ask the Most High what needs to be thrown out, that we all become true to him. What about that love, my brothers and sisters? That's the covenant. He says, love the Most High with all your mind, heart, soul, and might, and love your neighbor as yourself. Would you like it that anyone that the Most High would call would fall short of that glory? Is that what we prefer? Do we sit back and hold gripes and grievances against one another? When we have to understand that if any man attains the righteousness of the Most High, guess what? Anything that's in our head that ever has been or ever will be worth anything, he is the one who puts it there. We are completely at his mercy to show us his reproof that we might be true to him. But the humble and teachable soul, my brothers and sisters, is a very blessed thing. You see, didn't he say you have to come to him as a little child? Come on, my brothers and sisters, let's understand the reality. Let us learn how to love one another. Most High will only accept one offering, as that an offering that will bring forth peace acceptable unto him. Or do we really believe that he delights in the kingdom, that all are contentions after their own carnal preferences and ideals? Will that give glory to his name? Will he confirm that is stable? Oh, my brothers and sisters, let us understand what the book of Jacob, they call James, said. It said, we scattered among the nations, lacking wisdom, surrounded by a multitude of contentious provocations, false righteousness. He didn't talk about submitting to that corruption, but know that our patience and faith unto the Most High, our steadfast in the Most High, demands that we seek after what is perfect, bringing forth a perfect work. He didn't talk about remaining double-minded, filled with the debates and contentions of the nations, because he said a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, and let him not think he receive anything, certainly not the salvation of the Most High. Shall we ask the Most High for his wisdom and not seek in his guidance to obey? Does that make any sense to say that we will be favored if he offers us the gift of faith and truth, faith in his will that transcends the world? And we choose to ignore it? Will we receive favor for unbelief? Come on, my brothers and sisters, let us understand better. Blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Those who mourn for righteousness' sake, then, they shall be comforted, because they shall see one day righteousness. They who seek righteousness, I did not say according to the mandates of man, but true to him unto whom they have vowed, if they have sworn to his name. Blessed are the meek. Didn't he say the Spirit of Yah is upon the priest? Good tidings to the meek. The Spirit that teaches all things, brings all things to remembrance, reproving all sin, all that would divide and beguile, deceive his people. He said the Spirit of Yah is upon me. Speaks good tidings to the meek. And those who seek to be prideful after what's esteemed by the nations, oh, they never accept the gospel of his kingdom. He said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Ah. Blessed are they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, justice. What the Most High calls righteousness and justice, my brothers and sisters. And that by no means is a in ignorance, nor in irreverence, nor in any way a disrespect for his will. He says, you are my friends if you do perform, seek to uphold, keep, preserve, defend everything that he commanded. And he called those, my brothers and sisters, like Abraham, who sought his perfect will, that the world might be blessed, who was willing to humble himself to seek the perfect will of Yah, that there might be a hope for attainment, a hope for peace in the world. He called such as this his friends. Blessed are they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness. In other words, my brothers and sisters, they understand that only in a great love for the will of the Most High shall they receive that which they pursue. Man has not a great love for the truth, my brothers and sisters. Who's to say that he will be governed by it? Blessed are they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, justice, for they shall be filled. All righteousness, my brothers and sisters, is also a love for all that the Most High has declared, perfect equity and fairness. All my brothers and sisters, a love for righteousness is for a desire for a full understanding of all the Most High's decreed, for to know what is said and not know why it is said is to miss the point. All my brothers and sisters, how many are there among us that desire to know what righteousness is, that we might fully comprehend and pray the Most High in the revelation what is necessary to perform our obligation if we swear allegiance to his name? Or I could just tell you, like I said, my brothers and sisters, according to Isaiah 59, there's scriptures that say that the Most High looked and he saw no intercessor, he saw no man. Saw no one to help. Men lying and transgressing against the Most High. You see, therefore his own arm brought salvation to him. Oh, my brothers and sisters, we're talking about the name of the Most High no longer being in the possession of those who would deceive mankind. No more will there be those after various denominations, rulerships, political, social, and religious, and cultural in this world, who use his name to exalt a fallen standard. Most High once told me this wise. He said, till we are one, till we all are one, till we all in his name are one, no fallen standard, no miscreant belief, no misadministration, no misinterpretation, no injustice among us, we are not saved. Hear me, my brothers and sisters, what is it that we must be delivered from? Isn't it against all deceitful manner of injustice? Most High calls foolish, my brothers and sisters, deceitful, any standard which does not appease him. Hear me. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. There are those who simply look at those who have transgressed against them, and rather than pray, the Most High shows them better. Understand the Most High does not desire the death of the wicked, but that he should turn from his evil way and live. No, the Most High is not going to preserve the wicked in this earth who continue to remain unrighteousness, who refuse to hear. But he says, the scriptures say it well, he does not desire the death of the wicked, but they should turn from their evil way and live. I can talk about scriptures in Isaiah 16 that talks about, say, my heartstrings shall well for the men of Kir Harris. Some of you might not know what I'm talking about. The scripture talks about a city to be destroyed because they did not listen. How many times did Messiah say these words? He said, how many times would I have gathered you as a mother hen would have gathered her chicks, but you would not listen? He's looking for a people, my brothers and sisters, who understand that in discerning a greater righteousness, they have an obligation to follow. He said, if a man sinned willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, in Hebrews 10:26, if a man sinned willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, the gift of greater righteousness, our capacity to perceive it. He said he's blasphemed, insulted the Spirit of the Most High. And it's a terrible thing, my brothers and sisters, to fall in the hand of an angry. If we are offered the opportunity to walk in righteousness, my brothers and sisters, this path we must walk. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Those who are willing to pray the Most High that the hearts be changed to perceive wisdom. My brothers and sisters, a petition for the awakening of the world is a petition also for your own awakening. In preparation for him, the Son of Man, who reproves all the kings and all the priests. And the scripture says, be watchful that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. It certainly was talking about seeking the righteousness of Yah, because he will reprove every single standard on this earth, political, social, religious, all of them. Malachi 41 talks about he reproves all the kings. I said Isaiah 41:27-41:4. He reproved all the kings. Malachi talks about he reproved all the priests. Why? Because they said that everyone who walks according to his own evil way is good in the sight of the Most High, and he delights in such. As if any man who walks according to his own righteousness is good. All my brothers and sisters say he's going to suddenly come, and who can stand when he appears? When he refines, he comes like refiner's fire and like full of soap to prove foolish the wisdom of the wise, to humiliate even before all the people, those who are partial in the law. Even my brothers and sisters, to show forth what he said he would destroy out of the temple, whoever it is, to cause the people to be treacherous, brother against brother, because they were not true to the covenant he gave as the father, even to the Hebrew fathers. Oh, you need to understand what those scriptures are saying, my brothers and sisters. Read the book of Malachi closely. So blessed are the merciful, my brothers and sisters, who desire that men's hearts be converted, that they have an opportunity still yet to awaken. But my brothers and sisters, didn't we need also a tug or pull on our coattail to discern the will of, or begin to discern the will of the Most High himself? Remember the Apostle Shaul said, I know nothing in which I'm guilty or of which I fall short. But I might not be right in this, but my judge is the Most High. Hear me, my brothers and sisters. Are we so sure that we know in every respect how not to be hasty in our conclusions and how not to lie? Do we know, my brothers and sisters, in all respects, all things Most High we should have considered? My brothers and sisters, one scripture says he will count all men under sin, falling short of his glory then, that he might have mercy on every man. But his mercy, my brothers and sisters, is not to those who do not believe, but those who will, who will turn away from such transgression, all fallen standards. Wherever it is man has broken the covenant by choosing to forget rather than to remember. Wherever it is men have fallen victim to rulers, my brothers and sisters. Yes, fallen victim to rulers who traditions preserve and are a remembrance of corruption rather than a remembrance of his initial righteousness, the word that is from the beginning. Blessed are the pure in heart, those who have a righteous, pure understanding of his will, for they shall see Yah. Blessed are the peacemakers, all my brothers and sisters. To be peacemakers is salvation according to the ordinary standards of men. Is peace, my brothers and sisters, before Yah according to the ordinary standards of men? Let me tell you something. As long as men are in power, and there's nothing far greater to reinforce the strength of whatever system that men declare, men, my brothers and sisters, just sit back and talk about whoever, and talk about might is right. Hey, this, whoever has the biggest gun or the bigger bomb, but the Most High has a plan, my brothers and sisters. You need to check out my website, hiddengospel.com, and it talks about many places, many articles there, what the Most High said he would do to establish a kingdom reinforced after his power, that kingdom shall endure forever. But it says, blessed are the peacemakers, all those who seek that there be reconciliation among the people, that there be a knowledge of what indeed is the gospel, the rule of the kingdom. For they should be called the children of Yah. Blessed are they who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Oh, persecuted when they talk about what the Most High ultimately requires and desires, that we appease his will. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He did not say those who resist and rebel. He says, come, let us reason together. And he's not talking about according to our will, but seeking his. Oh, my brothers and sisters, let us understand the real. Blessed are they when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name. How about for my sake? How about for his righteousness' sake? Ah, my brothers and sisters, don't we live in a world today that calls itself blessed if no one speaks against the unrighteousness of this world or the injustices that are in it? Many are even intimidated because so many in places of power uphold political juxtapositions, corruptions and hypocrisies. But it says, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you for my name, for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets, those who spoke after the Spirit of the Most High, which were before you. Shall men dare say that the prophets, my brothers and sisters, that the prophets receiving the Spirit of the Most High still speak after the constraints? After the constraints of carnal men, all my brothers and sisters, Let us be wise enough to know far better, my brothers and sisters, than any such misconceived. I would have you to give attention, my brothers and sisters, please, with me. Give attention. It looks like I have just a short time to do this. He said to his people, ye are the salt of the earth. Appears that I'm definitely going to have to give myself a little bit more time. Give me just a moment. Let's see what I can do here. I'm sure that if I get just a few more taps of this mouse, I might be able to get the extra time that I might need to make all these things clear. Let's see if the option is available to me. If not, then it's going to be definitely something that I'm going to have to do. It's something I'm going to have to do, and you'll be able to hear them in the archives. The option has been removed. I was looking at this new interface they've made available. Let's look at this quickly after about 3 minutes and see if I can make this clear. Say you're the salt of the earth. What was salt used for but to preserve what is good, that it might not spoil? But if the salt loses savor, how about if it becomes tainted after the corruption of the world? Shall it now also be a corruptive agent? With which shall it be salted or made good? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and be trodden down and trodden under the foot of men, because it is just like the rest of the corruption. Didn't he tell his people then, my brothers and sisters, they must be something distinct, peculiar, having a different property, a different natural essence? He says, you're the light of the world. The light, my brothers and sisters, reveals what is just and what is justice. A city that is set on a hill, or a city that is set above all nations, should not be hid. It means if you have an opportunity to reveal the truth, show it forth. Neither men light a candle and put it under a bushel. You don't take the word, my brothers and sisters, use it destructively, but constructively, that it might be good, something to bring forth good to all, and set it on a candlestick. Giveth light to all in the house, to give my point that they may not stumble. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And the word for good means whole, pure, and perfect word before the Most High. Exceeding righteous, they may glorify your Father, which is in heaven. How else should you do a good work unless he revealed it? So you know not that it's Yah who inspires you to do the good that you do? He said, think not that I'm coming to destroy or dishonor in any way the law of the prophets. Oh, not to dishonor. How about to teach these things fully to the full measure of what is intended? Say, verily I say to you, till heaven and earth pass, not one jot, not one tittle, not even one dash of the law shall pass away, till all shall be brought to bear. In other words, all of it should be your expectation.
90
Examine
seconds.
The fullness of this. I may actually, since they just gave me a warning, continue this and might not say the usual salutation, but like I said, there's a need to... There will be some will be in the archives. And I'm told there's a delay in the archives before they show up, but it will still, according to all plan, will show up. He said, whoever shall break one of the least of these commandments call and shall teach men so. Oh, teach men to be foolish against the commandments
seconds.
Of God, shall call the least in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever shall teach and do them. He said the kings that were treacherous against this rule will be taken in chains because they kept the people in bondage. Whoever should do and teach them should be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you, except your righteousness, your sense of justice then, shall exceed the unrighteous, the misrule, how about of your rulers, even all the nations. For the gospel had to go forth to the nations to discern the righteousness they did not know. So unless your righteousness exceed the misrulers, my brothers and sisters, you shall not enter the kingdom of the Most High. You ever stop to consider what this means? The Most High wants a people who discern his justice, who learn his rule that they may rule and govern justly. I did not say that they might ridicule or seek to destroy one another, but they might be healers one of one another. Do you really think, my brothers and sisters, the Most High wants the people who can just sit back and talk about how they can render recompense in the context of bringing forth the destruction of one another? What about the idea about the power of healing, my brothers and sisters? The power to convert unto what is right. Is that not the far greater power? You say, you heard them say of old time, my brothers and sisters, you shall not kill. How about you shall not murder? unjust killing. Whoever should kill should be in danger of the judgment. Well, I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, there's a need to understand more than what is said, the surface of the rule, but the spirit of the rule. I want you to understand what these scriptures said, your righteousness, your sense of knowledge of what is the law and the prophets, all that is to be expected. And the cumulative line upon line, precept upon precept, sense of justice that these words declare. You must discern this, my brothers and sisters, greater than the misruling forces of this world. Else you shall not enter, shall not have partakership, my brothers and sisters, with those who would partake in and be called citizens of the city, of the kingdom that should be exalted above all others. Unless you learn the rule, my brothers and sisters, shall you be governors in the earth? It's talking about teaching of people, my brothers and sisters, the rule of the Most High in its full, that you might show light, the light of justice, reason, to the whole world. And only those who discern this rule, my brothers and sisters, will be citizens in that kingdom of kings and priests, shall govern the world, showing forth indeed what is divine justice and the opportunity toward healing that all must accept in the day that Messiah reveals all that in which men have fallen short. Blessed are they, my brothers and sisters, who discern what scriptures mean when you must come to him early. Hear, my brothers and sisters, because the prophecies say when Messiah comes, he will have must lead the blind by a way that they have not known. Isaiah 42:16. So the way of peace they have not known. He said, beheld, there was no intercessor. That means that those who wake up first, my brothers and sisters, are those who have been utmost diligent to begin to understand him. And they must give glory to the Most High if they were given discretion to recognize a righteous voice. To whom should they teach knowledge, and whom should they make to understand the report, it says in Isaiah 28. Who will believe his report? All my brothers and sisters, when most have been barely weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast, never had a foundation upon which to mature. Who understand his words when it's line upon line, precept upon precept, and they never had a sound foundation? You need to check out my website, my brothers and sisters, hiddengospel.com. There's articles there like Early Church Origin and Mutual Expectation. Articles there called The Secret City Prophecies. 4 centuries of Great Tribulation. You need it, my brothers and sisters. Remember the promise. Because many have not discerned what the scriptures said will bring absolution to a world. And if men always knew, the Most High is going to accept nothing less but his pure, perfect will that appeases him. And Messiah must come to bring it at a time when the whole world is falling short. Wouldn't that have humbled men to know what the scriptures mean? When you, the scripture says you have one master, even the Messiah himself. Whoever be great among you, let him first be servant. Let him first seek and humble himself for the good of all. And what does the scripture say concerning Messiah? He humbled himself, become ultimately as a servant in the likeness of men, that unto him every knee. He humbled himself before the Father, that at the name of Yeshua every knee should bow and every tongue should swear allegiance. Where are the hearts, my brothers and sisters, willing to humble themselves before the fullness of the righteousness of Yah beyond themselves, that Yah might be pleased? These are the ones, my brothers and sisters, that he said would rule a kingdom that is to establish justice in the earth. He said, you've heard it of old time that it was said, you shall not kill, but whoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. Oh, but he said, but I say to you, whoever is angry against his brother without a cause, it is anger, my brothers and sisters, without cause, without just reason, my brothers and sisters, that brings about unjust destruction. It says, whoever does is angry against his brother should be in danger of what? Divine judgment. Whoever says his brother, Raka. Oh, it talks about the idea about ultimately, my brothers and sisters, seek to demean his brother that he does not attain to what the Most High is pleased with. Isn't that what devils do? Scripture says anyone who will seek to misrepresent or revile or cast down the reputation of his brother for unjust reasons might be in danger of the council. But whoever shall say thou fool, seek to deceive his brother against what is contained in the law of the prophets, against the righteousness of Yah, against what is divine justice. All my brothers and sisters, whoever does this will be guilty of hellfire. Isn't that what devils do? Let us understand this is all about reconciliation in the world. It says, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and therefore remember that thy brother, and there remember that thy brother hath aught against thee. Most High wants peace, my brothers and sisters. He wants equity. He wants justice. Leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way and be reconciled unto thy brother. And then come and offer thy gift. You ever stop to consider, my brothers and sisters, the people who would show forth justice and light and the mercy of the Most High to a world? I'm saying still upholding what is that wrought of iron discipline. That people, my brothers and sisters, must first seek peace, reconciliation among themselves. Amos 3 says, should two walk together, lest they be agreed? He's really saying to Israel, you only have I known or shown my covenant of peace. The covenant of peace is to be the reconciliation of the world. Therefore, I must reprove you, refine you, discipline you beyond all your inequities, all your sins, all the false standards you have upheld that you might become one. And the scriptures talk about ultimately there, my brothers and sisters, those seven thunders you talk about in Revelation 10, that secret plan. And it's talk about a city that would be destroyed because it wouldn't listen. But he seeks first to reprove that the people might have a chance. And in that message, my brothers and sisters, Isaiah 66, you need to read that 6th to the 15th verse, is talking about a system among the churches that's completely corrupt for the Most High. It says when people see what happens at the city, him rebuking all those who are enemies against the fullness of his righteousness, it says Israel will be reborn as a nation seeking the righteousness of Yah as if it were in one day. So understand what these scriptures are talking about. Say, leave there thy gift before the altar if you find out that you have something to be reconciled with regarding your brother. Most High then wants an offering, my brothers and sisters, all his people. No contentions among them, having only love and trust. That's going to require a different kind of heart, my brothers and sisters. 5:25, agree with thine adversary quickly while thou art in the way with him. That's at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge will deliver thee to the office, and you be cast into prison. My brothers and sisters, please understand what the Most High desires. He desires, my brothers and sisters, that his people seek after the strength of the Most High, after the love of the Most High, all be healed unto the truth. And that must be the mutual desire of each and every soul. No one so pretentiously, selfishly ambitious and self-righteous that he sits back and says that his gripes are so important that he cares not for the peace the Most High wants for his people. The Most High says that no one is going to be part of that kingdom, my brothers and sisters, who does not desire the best for his brother. You need to understand what that means. Your salvation depends upon a love for divine will above all else. Your salvation depends upon a desire that even beyond yourself, the holy name be sanctified fully according to his glory. In other words, get my point. You seek his righteousness even if it reproves you for the good of your brother. That no man be an obstacle to enslave a mind. Those who will understand that, my brothers and sisters, have a chance. Those who understand that, my brothers and sisters, have a part in the covenant. He says to me a while back, prepare to be the head and not the tail. And my brothers and sisters, that means we must seek all his righteousness. Because what else will the Most High establish for the people in his name that are true to him? If men don't seek to exceed the unrighteousness of their rulers, what else do you have? The same vicious cycle of injustice. The people that are to be the head, not the tail. The people that will represent his name must seek all this, the righteousness and the justice that is contained in the law and the prophets to the fullness of all the Most High intends. Nothing less will the Most High accept, but for those who do attain to this out of a great love of the truth, who will obey his instructions that they be taught so much more and led along the path unto full attainment. The perfection that he intends unto them there, my brothers and sisters, is a great reward. We must understand why the scripture says we must exceed the unrighteousness of the rulers. And why the scriptures have related again and again that our ruler, the rulers would dare to seek that you never understand this. Because if you don't know what the Most High has promised, and what indeed is his blessed peace, what indeed is his righteousness, what is his promise for glory that he would offer his people, what else do men do, my brothers and sisters, but continue to walk after unrighteousness, considering themselves wise as a people without hope? Salvation, he said, is not according to the conversation of men. It is said, it's ultimately unto good works which Yah has foreordained. He said that faith unto that salvation, that peace, is not a conceit of man, but a gift from the Most High, a greater discretion revealed from the Most High. So if you're strange to the commonwealth of Israel, or what it is that keeps Israel a nation after that common expectation that is the covenant's promise, what is that expectation toward peace? He says you're without hope, without Yah in the world. How about hopeless, not understanding, nor pursuing fully what is the truth, and only exemplifying to others a misexample? HiddenGospel.com, my brothers and sisters. Articles like Early Church Origin and Expectation. Understand what Messiah meant and said, upon this rock I will build my church, discerning who he said he is. And even though the term Christ is a Greek one. Understand who he said he is when he says, he is the wooden offspring of David, the bright morning star. The word there should not be that you are the Christ, but you are the Kurdi, the righteous one that is mentioned so many times in Scripture. Understand what he comes to do according to Isaiah 41. According to Malachi 3rd through 4th, that one he calls the Son of Righteousness that arises, declare absolute justice in the earth. Discern that he is that one, my brothers and sisters, who will shepherd his people back in the way of righteousness. No more compromises. And discern, my brothers and sisters, the pursuit of righteousness, the love of righteousness. Understanding that nothing less will bring forth the full maturation of all the Most High has seen as beautiful and holy. Discern, my brothers and sisters, what those scriptures are about. And overcome, my brothers and sisters, gain the victory. Discern what the world would not tell you. Pierce the veil, the covering that's been over all the nations. And discern what the scriptures mean when it says in Isaiah 25, concerning the one who reveals that exceeding righteousness, by whom righteousness and the truth of the gospel shall be revealed. It says, in that day, my brothers and sisters, the people shall say, this is the Holy One for whom we have waited. We will rejoice and be glad in his salvation. He will tell, wipe away all tears from off all eyes. All my brothers and sisters, who discerns what it really means if we are to prepare to become the head and not the tail? To speak again, my brothers and sisters, this has been Eddie Meyer of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. To his might, honor, glory, and praise always, I thank you all for listening. I thank the Most High for every ear that he brings near. Hallelujah!